choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, as always, we're thankful that you've taken the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. And today, and through this week on Abounding Grace, we are going to study Romans chapter 3 and 4 and look at Father Abraham. Look at what Father Abraham believed with regard to justification by faith alone. What an important subject. And let me just say at Abounding Grace, we are so grateful to have this opportunity every week. And if you are blessed by these messages, do please write to us. Do please let us know. Every single one of them gets read. And we would be very thankful for any prayerful and financial support. You can go to our website at agradio.org, and everything is there for you. Maps to churches. We have these programs there for download, free of cost. And you are welcome to contact us and write to us and let us know how this program has been a blessing to you. I get wearied over how much disagreements and bickering that happens among Christians, how much this goes on. That was something I just never really expected to this degree going into the ministry. There are times I feel that people are fighting for things they shouldn't be, that are in the realm of Christian charity, and they certainly are minors. But then there are times when Christians are not fighting for what they should be. There are absolute majors. Today we come to one of these majors, and we see it all over Romans 3 and 4. Paul has stated the doctrine of justification by faith alone, but now he's proving it and making sure it's clear. So we're wrestling with a theology of the little bit. What do I mean by this? Well, if you heard the message properly in chapter 3, if you heard the truth of justification by faith alone in your own flesh, you struggled. Did you hear it? Let me rehearse it for you. The message of Romans 3 is the righteousness of God that he provided for you has absolutely nothing to do with you. God of his own sovereign will chose before the foundation of the world by the good counsel of his own will. He decided to take the perfect righteousness of his son and account it to whosoever believes. But belief too has nothing to do with your working, lest we think that was our job or something that we produced or that faith itself belongs to us. We're told in scripture that our faith is a gift from him. So putting the whole picture together, putting the whole story of gospel together, God supplies a righteousness in his son. He brings it to us. He gives another gift called faith to receive it, which amounts to nothing more than a baby resting in its mother's arms. And he says, based on Jesus' righteousness, that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are declared forever right with God. Not one work, not one lifting up of the hand, not one single step of something good can you do to receive this. It's all from him and to him and through him that all praise might go to him. And he says all of your working is an offense to him. Receive it as if you were absolutely handicapped so that you cannot move a bone in your body to get it. As he opens your heart to receive it. If I just heard that, the first thing I thought was that is way too good to be true. We should work for God, right? You know, shouldn't we be dealing with our living? Pastor, doesn't this teaching promote carelessness in the Christian life? What about all these calls in the Bible to work and to do? You know, in fact, I had an email come to me, a nice email, but the question was, I really appreciate how honest you were in your sermon, but do you agree that we should show people what we believe by how we live? Underlining all these questions comes a struggle. It's this. This is really hard for us to be stripped of all of our efforts in this and merely receive the absolute greatest gift God has ever given. You absolutely heard it correctly. All of our doing has nothing to do with our justification. The beauty of the Christian gospel is that you have everything you need in Christ. Nothing is lacking. And today it's as if the apostle knew this would be really hard for people to accept. He begins now to give examples to prove this. Paul leads us to the greatest figure, humanly speaking, in the Bible that we know, Father Abraham. And his goal in doing this is to very simply ask the question, well, what did Father Abraham believe about all of this? Does he support the doctrine of justification by faith alone? And the goal is to lead us to the ultimate praise of God in our salvation. Let's look at this today. Paul begins in verse 27 by saying, if we understand justification by faith alone, what does that do to boasting? Answer? It completely removes the possibility of any attitude that we are going to make it on judgment day because we have been good people. It's a boasting that is subtle in us. You could boast in your morality. You could boast in your knowledge. You could boast in your pious feelings. You could boast in faith itself. Paul is saying that if we understand the teaching that God justifies the ungodly by faith alone without one work, all boasting is removed, because the conclusion of the matter is a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, Paul knew this would be really hard for people. You have a whole epistle in the New Testament devoted to dealing with a church that had departed from this gospel and didn't even get a greeting from Paul. He was righteously angry. The Jews shot back, "Paul, you're teaching some strange new doctrine." Paul was constantly accused of this. This is exactly why in verse 31, he says, actually, the gospel upholds the goal of the law. Well, now it's as if he says, okay, what did the Old Testament saints believe? That's quite a question, isn't it? You ever thought about that? What did the Old Testament saints really believe? Did they really understand things like we do? Did they really believe in justification by faith alone? In verse 1, Paul raises the single greatest figure in the Old Testament, Abraham. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. Paul is posing a very important question here. We could paraphrase the question like this. What did Abraham, our forefather, discover in this life with regard to how a sinner is right with God? With how a sinner can be right in a right relationship with him? Now, the first thing you should notice here is this emphasis on Abraham, our great forefather. Paul's reacting to something. Abraham was held out as the greatest figure in the Old Testament. Now, there were a lot of great men in the Old Testament. You had Moses, and you had Elijah, and you had Daniel, and you had David. But absolutely no one was considered to be the father of all of them, except Abraham. In fact, you remember when Jesus confronted the Jews of his day, he said, if you knew my truth, my word, you would be set free. When he pressed them with regard to their unbelief, they shot back. We have Abraham as our father. We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Are you saying, Jesus, we're not free, that we're in bondage? We belong to Abraham. When Jesus told the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, the figure who becomes sort of the centerpiece is Abraham. So as we come to this, we're initially struck with the question, what was the view of Abraham? The Jews thought that simply being a son of Abraham guaranteed their access into heaven. The Jewish writings were not unclear about this. For instance, the Jewish teachers taught that Abraham was the only true righteous man of his generation. They taught he was the one that brought back the Shekinah glory cloud to the nation of Israel. At age 3, they believed, he began to serve God, and all of his righteousness, they said, was made totally complete by his circumcision. Rabbi Akida at this time had been quoted as saying, "All Israelites are kings since they descend directly from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Listen to the prayer of Manasseh. Therefore, thou, O Lord God of the righteous, has not appointed repentance for the righteous, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who did not sin against thee, but thou hast appointed repentance for me, who am a sinner. The Book of Jubilees, 2nd century BC. Abraham was perfect in all his deeds before the Lord, and well-pleasing in righteousness all the days of his life. Get the point? As I study this, I can't help but thinking the Jews did have a doctrine of justification. It was justification by being a son of Abraham. To the Jews, Abraham was the perfect saint and the perfect representation of what it means to be upright and accepted by the Lord based on that righteousness. The Jews saw all of their blessing as coming through Father Abraham. Abraham was a moral man. He had an inward goodness, they believed. And when God came to him with these promises, he believed in God and he delighted in listening to God. And he was naturally inclined to obey God. And God justified him based on his obedience of listening and believing God. That's what they believed. Now, you can really appreciate what Paul's doing here. This is really important today. What then shall we say our father Abraham has discovered? What was Abraham's view of himself? In other words, what did he discover about his own nature, his own works, his own righteousness, and how a sinner is right before this holy God? Question is this: did the greatest figure in the Bible think he was justified by faith or works? Because Paul says here, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. If the great Abraham had some good works and basis for his own righteousness, he could boast, but he couldn't do it before God, you see, because that's not the truth of the matter. This is the great error people make with regard to Christianity today. They think that we Christians think that everyone has to be good and moral and upright for God to accept them. I just had somebody say they were new to the Christian faith and they had no idea what the Bible records. You know what you go through the Bible and see? The lives of a bunch of messy sinners. People who did awful things, whom God in sovereign grace reached down and saved and pulled out of their darkness. We're going to look at that with Abraham. Abraham was a pagan. Abraham was a moon god worshiper. Abraham was a great sinner. And if he were here today, he would tell you, "I am the chief of sinners, saved by God's grace, trusting the promises of the gospel. And when I believed, God accounted to me the perfect righteousness of his son." Dear Christian, that's the only way anyone is saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and do not work, and God will justify the ungodly. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We do humbly ask both for your prayerful and your financial support. Go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for taking the time. Tune in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.